The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
And I'm walking and resting in it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you came with your Bible, could you please lift it up and say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I'll go where it says I can go. I'll achieve what it says I can achieve. I'll be what it says I can be. Slap your chest and say, I am a believer. Come on, do it again. Say, I am a believer. I want to invite your hearts and minds to the book of Proverbs 28. Last week, we were journeying with the book of Ezekiel. It's still the same, just putting that scripture as an added scripture to what we have been doing from last week. The wicked flees when no man pursues. Proverbs chapter number 28, the verse number 1. The wicked flees when no man pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flees when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Can we read it together? The wicked flees when no man pursues, but the righteous. Read to somebody. Just look at somebody and tell the person, the wicked flees when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that in this time that you've given to us to share in your word, you give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody. Oh God, speak to me. Speak through me. Speak for me. That the excellency of the power will be of you. That when it's done, your people will be edified, and you, our King, will be glorified. In the name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, we've prayed. Amen. Please take your seats. And again, we are excited to have Dr. Jamal Bryan in the house, my brother for a very long time, and I love him. He's a great man. Amen. Put your hands together, make him feel comfortable one more time. We started this journey last week, and I was telling you from, of course, the apocalyptic writings of Ezekiel, the prophet, who was in exile, not only him, that of Daniel and John the Revelator, putting all of them together, Revelations chapter number 5, when John the Revelator was talking about the beast that he had seen, or the seraphic beings he had seen, and he was talking about them, one having the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, and the face of an horse. And when you get into the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 1, the same thing was mentioned. We're trying to run through the various attributes and the things that we can glean from those characters and images. I've told you before, let me say it again, whatever God has created is either for your consumption or for your learning. Whatever God created, whatever you are not eating, you are supposed to learn from it. So the Bible will tell you, go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise, because it will be so preposterous finding you trying to do an ant fries. It will not be a good one to do. But because you cannot eat the ant, you're supposed to learn from the ant. You're not supposed to be eating the snake, but you're supposed to be as wise as the serpent, because there are certain things that God had placed in our environment that you are not consuming, but you're also not learning from them. There are certain characteristics and things that God has placed in them that if you are going to glean from the wisdom with which the Creator had put or embedded in them, your life is even going to be better. We started the journey. We started with that of the eagle last week, and I want to bring to your attention some of the things that we had said, that the eagle is monogamous. The eagle, once it commits itself to one to another, is not going to look for any other. The eagle does not have a wife and a side chick. The eagle does not do sights. The eagle does not have a wife and desserts. The eagle does not commit one and still have commitments to other people. The eagle is monogamous. And that is supposed to let you know that once you get into the commonwealth of faith and you call yourself a Christian, you cannot be with God and still fraternize with the devil. You cannot be on the side of God and still be on the side of other things. You cannot have one foot in the kingdom and another foot in the kingdom of darkness. You cannot be with God and be with the devil at the same time. If you say you are for God, everything about you must project that you have a relationship with God, your King and Father. You cannot be in the kingdom of God and still have associations, linkages, and relationships with any voodoo priest or anything that is occultic or demonic. You cannot have that. Why? Because you are supposed to stay committed and true to your one and true Savior. I just want you to understand this, because most of the time, as Africans, we are quite superstitious. We want the spirit. We want all of that. And because of that, we get compromised. But once you find yourself in the kingdom of God, you are not supposed to have anything to do with the kingdom of darkness. You have to stay true and loyal and committed to God, to your Savior, to your King, to Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You cannot be with God and be with a fetish priest. It's not right. Look at somebody and say, that's not right. The ego is monogamous. It stays committed. It stays resolute. Once it's been able to court and taking over the female, it doesn't have to look for any other. And in our space and in our generation and in our time, people find commitment to be a big deal. They don't commit. People cannot commit anymore. So I love you, but I love somebody else too. I want to be with you, but I also want to hang out with the other person too. But if you're going to have the mindset of an ego, you have to understand that commitment is key to where you are going. That you cannot be all over the place and still expect God to do many things with your life. If you happen to be in the faith, you have to stay committed to God. You cannot be all over the place. You have to stay committed to God. You cannot be a Christian and a Muslim at the same time. You cannot be a Chrislam. You cannot have an altar in the kingdom of God and still have an altar in the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't work that way. We mentioned that. We told you about the vision of the eagle, that the eagle is able to see from afar off. And that is the problem that we are having, because we don't have a lot of people who are thinking beyond this generation. We are not having generational thinkers. Africa will be able to rise again when our leaders are not looking at the now, but they are able to look 10 years ahead of time, 20 years ahead of time, and begin to put things together, put things in place, so that the generation to come is going to benefit from what we have and what we can do. We are selling things, selling lithium, selling gold, selling oil, and they are buying it cheap from us. They are buying it very cheap. And you go to a place like Niger, and they have uranium, and they live in darkness, and they have given all their uranium to France, and France is enjoying, and they have light, and Niger is living in darkness. That thing will never stop if Africans do not have that sight, if we are not able to see ahead of time and look into time and project ourselves into 10, 15 years ahead of us. I pray that God will raise a new breed of people that will begin to think generationally, not think just about here and now. People that will be able to pray and project Africa to the world in a better light. We are not supposed to be where we are. Sometimes you go to the West, and when they are talking and when they know that you are from Africa, they think that we are living in abject poverty, because that's the projection we've given them. And I keep telling them that we aren't poor. Look at somebody and tell them, we are not poor. We just lack the leadership to be able to look into time, ahead of time, and make the right decisions that will bring us out of poverty. And I pray that God will raise another generation that will be able to make the right decisions and they'll do the right things to bring us out of wherever we find ourselves. But today I just want us to move on, because there is another thing that God has placed on my heart that I share with you. Not just that of the ego, because the ego is a beautiful bird. I love it. It understands the thermal columns. It understands that adversity is not meant to kill, but adversity is meant to give you a lift. The ego understands that you don't have to even use your own energy for flight. It looks for the wind, and when the winds are coming, the ego glides on it. I just want you to understand, child of God, that when adversities are coming your way, God is just giving you a thermal column that you can glide on the winds of adversity, and it will scale you to your next level. May God bring you to a place of understanding that all things are supposed to work together for your good, because you love God and because you are the called according to his purpose. May God give you an advantage. Whatever is being thrown at you, may that work out for your good. Whatever the devil is bringing against you, may it yield to your benefit. May it endure to your good and to your advantage. The eagle understands the thermal column. He's able to perceive that, okay, what kills others cannot kill me. What is able to kill others? When the winds are coming, there are other birds that will go hiding. They run into caves. They fly into spaces and they look for places to hide. But when the eagle sees it, he knows that, okay, here comes an opportunity, because what kills others cannot kill me. I just came to tell somebody that what kills others will not be able to kill you. What destroys others will not be able to destroy you. What has been able to break others will not be able... Look for somebody and tell the person who's talking to me. The eagle understands the thermal columns. And so when he's able to perceive that, it glides on that. And because it knows that there are others, if it was to flock with the other birds, they were going to give some doctrines and some information that was going to demoralize it. It won't do that. It won't listen to any other. The eagle will mount up alone. It's just to let you understand that where God is sending you to, it is not everybody that you need to go with. There are people who will not understand the height that God is lifting you to. And I pray that you will have the understanding to know that where God is sending you to, maybe it will only be right if you begin to mount up alone. The Bible says that, and they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploit. I just came to talk to about 1,000 of you that there is another anointing that is coming upon you in this season of your life. And you are going to mount up and do exploits. May that grace sit on you as never before. May that grace to do exploits. The ego understands that it has to move alone. And sometimes in life, you have to embrace being alone to be lifted. I mean, we are so clingy and we want validation from people, and we want people to embrace us and tell us that we are okay, and we want that. But most of the time, when it comes to matters of destiny and where God is sending you to, you'll be left in your alone moments. And it is only in your alone moments that you will have supernatural encounters. The man called Jacob, the Bible says, was left alone and had an encounter with the angel of God. When you are left alone, it doesn't mean you are lonely, because there is an innumerable company of angels with you. And if you are able to plug into the mind of God, in your alone moments, you catch a revelation that will lift you to your next level. The angel said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is called Jacob." He said, No. From today, you have fought with God and man, and you have prevailed. Your name will no longer be called Jacob, the supplanter. Your name will be called Israel, which means many. God always leads us to a place of abundance when we have encounters with him. May God bring you to that level of your life where you will have an encounter that will shift everything around you and send you to your next level. Being alone doesn't mean you are lonely. We have a society where people are so clingy and needy for affection and validation, and we want that. It's not too bad, but it can be risky, because it's not everybody that can feed into where God is sending you to. That there are people that where God is sending you to is so big that if you are not mindful, you will shrink the size of your vision to accommodate their mediocrity.
And unfortunately, most of us, although God is sending us to places that are great and mighty, we want to still keep company with people that do not have the same capacity. And because we want them to feel good, we reduce our standards to accommodate them. But God is raising you to a place where your capacity will come to bear, where there will be a complete manifestation of what you carry, where you will not compromise what you have just to accommodate other people. It's not about. I have been thinking that if you came alone and you go alone, why do you think the opinions of people matter? The opinions of men are only the opinions of men. It has no bearing on the mindset of God. Because oftentimes when God is thinking, people are sleeping. Does God think? Of course. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So we serve a thinking God who is the embodiment of all thoughts. And in the thought processes of God, he still thinks whilst he is in that space. In his thoughts, he's thinking. It means that he ends before he starts thinking. And he finishes the process and he brings you and says, let me walk you through it. And whilst God is walking you through it, what God is saying is that you just have to be on my side and not on the side of the world. Because my ways are higher than their ways. And my thoughts are higher than their thoughts. The reason why you are not being lifted till now is because you are thinking that the people are supposed to understand where you are going. And so if they don't understand you, it means you are not on the right path. But God is raising deviants and people that are not conformists. Because you see, destiny will only be fulfilled by non conformist people that believe that they are outliers to the natural space, what we call the normal distribution curve. God is raising outliers. Can I talk to you? God is raising outliers, not conformist. Do not be conformed. God doesn't like conformist. You have been a conformist for a long time. They say nobody in our country, nobody from your tribe, nobody from your family is able to do A, B, C, D, and you've conformed to that. But God wants you to shift your perspective and begin to see that there is a bigger picture. There is something that God brought you into this world for. And until that is done, nothing can push you out prematurely. I just want to prophesy to about 1,000 of you in this space that God is bringing you to a place where you are not going to be a mere statistic. But you are going to influence the course of this land. God is raising change agents, men and women that are going to change the course of our land. They are non-conformist. They are able to mount up alone. They are able to fly alone. They are able to go up alone. Because sometimes we are joined to others who are stuck at the bottom of the mountain. And because you are joined to them and you don't want to break that bond and that relationship and that association, that's why you're still where you are. But if you get the revelation that your capacity is bigger than where you are, that God has given you something bigger than what you have, you'll be able to pursue the various things that God has placed on your life. May God open your eyes to that level. May God bring you to, can I prophesy to those of you here? May God bring you to a place where you mount up as never before. May God bring you to a place where your capacity will come to show. Maybe let me just add to it and allow Pastor Brian to do what he will do with you. But interestingly, that's not the only thing. In your scripture, you are told that Jesus came as a lamb. And he will come again as a lion. The lamb is because he was a sacrifice and being led to the slaughterhouse, it was a sacrifice, but he's not always going to be a sacrifice. He's paid the sacrificial debt or dues already. What he is going to come back again in the form or similitude that he's going to come back therein will be that of a lion. And so it means that the believer has duality to his identity. There is a duplicity of your manifestation. You are not only a lamb that portrays the humility of the Christ, but you are also a lion that is able to scare your adversaries. The lion is for judgment. The lion is for strength. The lion is for authority. The lion is for power. But there is one thing that the devil has also done against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in our times. And oftentimes, we fail to realize the importance of something called church. The lion brings us to the place whereby it's telling us, all of us, that we should learn from him or from her, that there is something about the lion that although it is a symbol of strength and power, it doesn't move alone. There is a conflict there. The ego want to mount up but still loyal to its family. The lion is like that as well, but the family size is bigger when it comes to the lion. It has a family, a group, a membership. We call it a pride. The pride of lions, a group of lions together. The lion states in his group. What it tells you is that no matter what the devil will do to you, or no matter what the devil will try to project as far as the church of our God and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, it is better for you to stay in the family and the commonwealth of faith than to be found alone. You know, we are living in a time where people don't even want to go to church anymore. They think that even following church online is the best place to be. And so they don't want to be in a physical space. They don't want to be in a synagogue. They don't want to be in a meeting place. They just want to be there, not in a church. And just maybe they don't want to go to church because they think that when they go to church, they will give offerings. But when they are watching online, they are not under any obligation probably to give. But what they are failing to realize is that there is a thing there, and there is something about being in a physical space. There is something about being in an atmosphere where there is the move and the power of the Holy Ghost. There is something about being in a place of worship where the praise of our Lord is being lifted up. There is something about being in a place where a preacher will mount a stage and declare the oracles of God over a people. There is something about being in an atmosphere, and when the atmosphere is sustained, it becomes a climate, and when the climate is sustained, it unleashes a blessing over God's people. I just want you to understand that no matter how broken the world might project the church to be, a broken church is still better than a fixed world. Let me say it again. A broken church is still better than a fixed world. Well, maybe the people in the church are all like this, and the pastor is like that, and the woman of God is like that, and the choir people are there. There is a lot of immorality with the choir people, as if the world is the beacon of morality. And if you stay in the world, you'll be obscured from everything going on in that space. I am telling you, you are still better if you come into a church and be in a physical space. And whilst the proclamation and the prophetic declarations are going on, some things will drop on your life and your life will begin to turn around. Let me try this with you. May something fall on your life today, and may things begin to turn around for you. The lion understands that, but I don't have all the time, but let me just try to push this because it's important for you to appreciate that in the family of the lions, the lioness is the one that goes hunting. It's not the males. It's the female lions that hunt. It's not the male lion. The female lions. They are the ones that go hunting. That is supposed to mean that if you are a lioness in the faith, you are not supposed to sit down and expect a man to give you a handout. God is raising a new breed of women that will take over the corporate space of our world. Take over leadership of our world. God is raising a new breed of people. Can I talk to a few women in this space? Women that are thinking we are not second class citizens. Women that are going to go out there and take over the nations of our world. Women that are not going to say, oh, I am beautiful and I just have to live off my beauty. We live in a generation whereby there are women that are thinking that, oh, I'm beautiful as far as I can fix my mascara right. And I can put on my foundations and makeup right. And wear all the kinds of things that will make me sexually provocative. I'm going to get a man to dole out some cash to me. They'll buy me a house,
buy me a Range Rover, buy me a Rolls Royce, buy me a Mercedes, buy me that. And be, no. God has always had an eye on Deborah's. God has always had an eye on Esther's. God has always had an eye on women that can go hunting and know that there is something. God is raising a new breed of women, I'm telling you. It is the lioness, man of God. It is the lioness that goes hunting. It doesn't wait to be given food. It goes out there and it makes things happen. God is going to give you vision. God is going to give you an idea. And you go out there as a woman and make things. All right, let me talk to myself. I know I came to talk to myself this morning, but God is raising some women in this place. Do I have some women in the house? God is raising some women in this place. Do I have women in the house? God is raising some women in this place. They go hunting. Not only that, whilst the women are hunting, the men are marking territories. The men are marking territories. Whilst the women are making things happen, the men are marking territories. I pray that God will wake you up from your spiritual comatose and bring you to a place where you'll be awake and vigilant. The men, they mark territories. They mark territories. And the lion is able to mark territories. And when the lion is marking a territory, what he's saying is that, I am not afraid to fight if you come here. You know, it excites me whenever I read about those things, because when God gives you a territory, it is your responsibility to protect the territory that God has given to you. If God gives you a marriage, it is your responsibility to protect the marriage God has given to you. If God gives you a business, it is your responsibility. Whatever God has given to you, he's giving you the responsibility to keep it. If you lose things, you can't blame God. The heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So in this realm, you are the prelate. You are the voice here. That's why the Bible says, and you shall decree a thing and shall be established unto you. Then shall light shine on your path, that when men are cast down, you shall say there is a lifting up. And so all that society and your life and destiny and your generation is waiting on is for you to come to the place where you know that you are the force in your realm. Look at somebody and tell the person, I'm the force here. So God doesn't only want you to go out hunting, but God also wants you to have territorial awareness. Do you know why the devil is able to creep into our spaces? It's because we are territorially naive. You don't know that God has given you a space and it's your duty to protect it. The lion understands that this is my territory and I am not afraid to give you a fight if you come here. If you come for my children, I will fight you to the death. If you come for my ministry, I will fight you to the death. If you come for my wife, I will fight you to the death. If you come for my husband, I will fight. The lion doesn't fight and say that I'm defeated, I'm going home. It fights to the death. So it is either I am alive and enjoying it, or I am gone and you've taken it. But the latter is not an option for me. I'm going to fight you to the death. That is the mindset of a lion. That what is mine, I will protect it with everything that I have. May God bring you that strength that you need to protect your family. There are some of the Bible says the earnest expectation of the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so as a son of God, God is expecting you to manifest and protect that which is around you. May God give you what you require to protect the ministry God has given to you. May God bring you to the place where you can protect the business God has placed in your hands. May God raise you to the place where you can protect the children. So the devil is coming into your family, destroying your son, introducing your son to drugs,
and you are sitting. No, 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 no. God is expecting you to fight and not to sit down. God has never expected human beings to wait for angels to come down and fight for them. God expects you to be a fighter. It has always been the case that you are the one that is solely responsible for what God has given to you. So the lion is territorially aware, is territorially vigilant. He understands his terrain and he knows that, okay, this is what God has given me. And as long as I am here, nothing of the enemy comes around. As long as I am here, you can't touch my son. As long as I am here, you cannot touch my daughter. As long as I am here, you cannot touch my husband. As long as I am here, you cannot touch my ministry. As long as I am here. You have to come to that place of understanding, child of God. A lion doesn't only do that because it just wants to fight. But before a lion will make that statement that this is my territory, it announces it for the devil to hear. The roar of the lion is to mark a territory. The roar of a lion is to tell them that if you think that this space is free, I am here. The roar of the lion is just to let you know that I have this space and it is mine for good. Is there anybody who is ready to roar in the house? Just to let the devil know that you have a space to protect. Is there anybody? No, your roar is weak. Let me come close to you. I think it will be better for you. So the lion roars so that you know that it is in charge. And in the New Testament, we don't roar like the lion will do in the wild. But we have a way we roar, whereby we stand and we begin to speak in tongues. This is my territory and it is marked for the good. I just came to talk to a few of you who understand that you roaring is a sign that you understand your territory and you are marking it for your preservation. The lion is able to roar because it wants to send a signal that I'm here and I'm in charge. It doesn't only roar for food. Read, and the Bible says, if the lion roars, who will not fear? When the lion is to roar, the reason why they think they can still play and toy around you is that you have not been roaring. Your nature is not only the lamb. You have portrayed and projected the lamb nature for a long time. It is about time that you project your nature as a lion that roars in your territory, that stands and prays to take over a space and a territory. And you tell them that I am here and I am in charge. God is raising a new breed of people that are not going to sit and cry, because you cannot change the nature of your destiny with tears. You don't change life with tears. Tears can change your life. Because you cannot emotionally blackmail God.
Thank you.
You cannot emotionally blackmail God. You cannot cry your way out of problems. What I have noticed about the lion is that when there is a problem, it roars its way through it. And God is waiting for people who can speak in another tongue, who can roar in the spirit, who can say another word and say that not this house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is raising a new breed of people who will be able to stand and defend. Well, my time is almost up, but let me say this because we'll continue next week. Again, the lion doesn't make noise because the roar is not noise. The roar is an instrument of communication that those that are close and far are supposed to perceive and know what he's saying or talking about. But not only that, the lion, all the cats, they are able to see in the dark.
So in the night seasons, the lion will roar to call the pride. But he sees the prey from afar off, 5-6 miles away, even in the dark. And when I was reading about it, I just got excited, because sometimes in the night seasons of our lives, we fail to see. And no matter who you are, you'll go through the night seasons of your life where things will not be where you want them to be, where your finances might be funny, where your health might fail you. But in the night seasons of your life, what do you see? Whose report do you believe? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In the night seasons of your life, what do you see? The lion is able to see and not make noise. I got excited because the lion makes move, not noise. When it sees a prey and it wants to go hunting, he moves quietly with a lot of calculation. I told you the same thing last week about the eagle, that he calculates so that he's able to pounce on the prey as soon as it's coming down, just like that. But it's the same thing to do with the lion. The lion sees the prey. It goes after the prey, but without a noise. The problem we are having, the reason why we are not making any advances, is that when God gives us vision of our prey, we make too much noise before we even get there. We are too noisy. We talk about the miracle before the miracle comes. And so when God brings you a man, the first thing you do is to take a selfie and post it, see what the Lord has done. You are making noise before you capitalize on the prey. But God is raising a new breed of people who understand that making move is more important than making a noise. May God bring you to that place where you will not make noise, but you will make a move and get things done. Top three people and tell them, make a move, make a move, make a move. Stop making noise. Maybe all that God wants us to do is that we are not going to make noise, but we'll make moves. Because the problem is that the lion will not let the prey know it's coming. It crouches, then it moves steadily, doesn't want to even cause any of the broken branches to make a noise. Quietly creeping in, quietly. The problem we are having in the 21st century church is that we have too many people that when God gives them a vision of what they are to do and to become, they let their noise overtake their move. So you have been noisy all through, making all the wrong noise, and not utilizing the space, the opportunity, and taking advantage of the prey God is giving to you. The lion has a mindset that I am not going to celebrate until I have what is mine. The only time the lion calls for and makes noise after is after he's been able to get the prey, so that the others will come and feast in. Because obviously, when God gives you the lion heart, it is not for you alone. You hunt for others and bring them on board so that they can be beneficiaries. You are not blessed to enjoy it alone. God is blessing you to be a blessing. Can I talk to a few of you in this place? God is raising you to be a blessing to your generation. And God is bringing you to a place where whatever you are hunting is going to be for the general good of your generation. I'm just wrapping it up. But lift up your right hand with me and say, Lord, in this season, give unto me great vision, great sight, the ability to possess what is mine, the ability to possess what is mine. God is ready for you. But the problem is, are you ready? God is ready to do mighty things with your life. But are you ready? There are a lot of praise for the taking. If you quit the noise and start making the move, a year from now, we'll stand here and celebrate our God in ways untold. Can I get you lifting up your right hand? You just want to pray. You just want to go before God and pray. I'll allow Dr. Jamal, before he comes here next year to preach, just to speak over you and pray with you and make declarations over you. Because I'm telling you, there is something God is doing, but you have to be in alignment with the mind of God. You cannot behave as a deer when God wants you to take territories. Territory taking is for lions. God has given you a space in an industry and you are chickening out because you think there are hyenas in the space. Oh, there are hyenas. There are some vampires in there. There are hyenas. They destroy businesses. It's good. It's because you've not roared yet. Because whenever the lion roars, the hyenas, they go hiding. I just want you to roar this morning for the next 2 minutes. I don't know your territory you want preserved, but I want you to lift your voice and begin to speak into the atmosphere. Speak into the spirit realm. Speak. Come on now, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice. I want you to roar wherever you are. Just roar. Come on, roar. Come on, roar. Mark your territory. Mark your territory. Roar. Roar. When it comes to your children, when it comes to your business, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your enterprise, whatever is about you, lift your voice and begin to roar right now.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.